As the Lord preached the gospel here in John chapter 8, it says there in verse 30 that many did believe on him. And it says then in verse 31, "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." But as soon as he said this, those who didn't believe, who had been disputing with him while he spoke, they speak up. They took offense to what he said. In verse 33, they answered him, "We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest ye shall be made free?" And by this answer, they manifest that they were in bondage so badly they didn't even have any idea how badly they were in bondage. Verse 34, Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. And if the Son therefore make you free, then you are free indeed." Our title will be our divisions this morning, Bondage or Liberty. Bondage or Liberty. First thing we'll look at is, what is bondage? What does God call bondage? Christ said here, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whomsoever committeth sin is the servant of sin." Lots of things probably come to your mind when you think of committing sin. And lots of things should come to our minds when we think of committing sin. But when the Lord said the Holy Spirit would come and that He would judge this world, He said He would judge, He would persuade His people in this world of sin because they believe not on me. Now you just take everything you thought about sin and you funnel it all right down to this one person, Christ the Lord. They believe not on me. The Lord, turn back to John chapter 3, verse 19. This is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light. Who is the light? Christ is the light. And everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, and will not come to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved or discovered. When you come to the light, when the light turns on, that's when the deeds are manifest. But he that doeth truth, now this is what it is to do truth, to do righteousness. He comes to the light, comes to Christ, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought, they're worked in God. Christ worked them. Christ performed them. And they come to have their deeds manifest that they're all wrought in God. Those who don't believe on the Lord are servants to sin. Slaves to sin. Slaves to the fact that you cannot believe on the Son of God. You will not believe on the Son of God. You hate the Son of God, slaves, and cannot free yourself from that very sin. Everything else you do is the direct result of hating the Son of God and not believing on it. Everything. Bondage to sin is being under the curse of the law. And it's being under the power of the law of sin and death within us. It's being under the curse of the law, and it's being under the power of the law of sin and death within us. A sinner has no power. He's got no power to free himself from the power of sin and death. We are sin and death. That's what we are. And therefore, we have no power to free ourselves from those shackles. They're iron shackles. We can't be freed from them by any power in us, because there is none in us. We're sin, and we love sin, and we don't want to be freed from sin, and we're dead. And a dead man can't do a thing. That's what we are by nature. He's under the threats of the curse constantly. You know why it is that a man that doesn't believe God would rather be somewhere else than hearing the Word of God preached? You know why? You know what makes a man uncomfortable when they hear the Word read, or they see somebody open up a Bible in a room that they walk into, or anything? You know what makes that turns a man? You know what does it? One thing. Enmity against God. Enmity against God. Just that little uncomfortable feeling. Just that little thing that makes you uncomfortable. Let's see. I'm going to pick somebody here right now and call on you. One of you children. I'm going to call on you, and I'm going to ask you something about God, and I want you to give me the answer. Let's see. That scared you to death, didn't it? You're sitting there thinking, please don't call on me. Please don't call on me. Why? Because by nature, you hate God. By nature, you hate God, and you don't want to have anything to do with Him. You may consider yourself moral. You may consider yourself obedient to the law of God. Here's what Paul said. Tell me, ye that desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? Do you not hear what the law says? Do you hear the law? Does anybody here hear the law? To all who are under the curse, to all who are under the law, to all who are unregenerate, without faith, without repentance, those who are outside of Christ Jesus the Lord, this is what the law says. Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things that are written in the book of the law to do them. Cursed. Cursed. Not only to the sinner who lives a profane life and who is immoral and ungodly, but to the straightest, most straightest religionist there is. However strict you may observe the law, however perfect your outward obedience to the law may be, however moral and upright you think you are, the law says to everyone who's under the law, cursed, cursed, cursed. Bring forth any deed you want to, cursed. Bring forth any benevolent thing you've done for some poor old lady trying to cross the street, cursed. Bring forth the best deeds you've done in denying yourself and bringing forth whatever good you can for somebody. Cursed. Cursed. What if you gave all your goods to the poor? Just went out and sold everything you got and gave it to the poor. Cursed. Cursed. James says, whosoever shall keep the whole law, yet offend in one point, he's guilty of all. Guilty of all. The law puts all men on the same ground. Turn to Romans 3. Romans 3. The law puts all men on the same ground. Romans 3:13. And you can put, let's read this personally. Let's say, mine. My. You can read this about yourself. My throat is an open sepulcher. My tongue has used deceit. Poison of asp is under my lips. My mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. My feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in my ways, and the way of peace I have not known. There is no fear of God before my eyes. Now, who's that speaking of? Verse 19 says, "We know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God." Look down at verse 23. Outside of Christ, this is the one common verdict of all men. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now that's bondage. That's bondage. That's sin. And that's your shape, that's your condition, sitting here this morning, who are without Christ. If you die this afternoon, you'll go to hell justly. And the whole host of heaven in righteousness will rejoice in the fact. Now, what's freedom? What's liberty? Liberty is spiritual freedom. Every person that is made free by Christ is freed from the law, so that the law cannot and must not pronounce one curse against you. Not one curse against you. The believer sins. Even that believer that's born of the Spirit of God sins. Sin is mixed with everything we do. But there is absolutely no curse connected to our sin. None whatsoever. No threat of the law shall ever be brought forth against anybody for whom Christ died. Not one threat of the law. Why not? Turn to Galatians 3:13. Galatians 3:13. God, he that justifieth the wicked, and he that condemneth the just, are both alike to God an abomination. An abomination. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Yes, he shall. God is absolutely just. Here's why no curse can be brought up against anybody for whom Christ died. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. Look at Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 53. All we, and this is speaking particularly to every one of those God chose and put in Christ, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. The iniquity of us all. Hold your place there. We'll come right back to there. But I want you to look at 1 Peter chapter 2. Verse 24. Who his own self, not somebody else, his own self, bear our sins, not his own, our sins in his own body, not in another body, in his own body, on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Look back at Isaiah 53 now. Isaiah 53. In perfect, absolute harmony with God, who is absolutely just, whose glory will be absolutely diminished if he unjustly punishes anybody. But who in perfect harmony with his holy judgment, with his glory, because the iniquity of his children is on Christ, because he's bearing the sins of his children in his own body on the tree. Isaiah 53:5 says, "Therefore, he was wounded for our transgressions." That's the punishment. That's the punishment for it. He was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. Peter said that we being dead to sins, how can I be dead to sin? How can God say I'm dead to sin? I see sin, that's all I see in me. How can God say I'm dead to sin? Because what God says is so. That's why. You want to go home and look up imputation? Go home and look up how God imputes. He doesn't impute what is not absolutely so. What is not absolutely a fact. In sin or righteousness, he does not account or reckon that which is not absolutely so. That's right. He just doesn't. If we reckon, if we account, the church account, we get through accounting for what's in the treasury, what's been accounted is really there. It's really there. And if it's not there, it's unaccounted for. And that's the case in everything in the way we account and with the way we reckon. God, who's absolutely able to do things that are beyond our comprehension, accounts and reckons more absolutely than we ever thought about doing it. And what he accounts and reckons and imputes is an actual fact. I'm dead to sins. I'm dead to the law. To God's holy law, I'm dead to it. There's no sin to be charged to me because as God reckons in imputation, there has to be sin there for it to be imputed to you. That's why the man is blessed to whom God will not impute sin. And the reason God won't impute sin there is there's none to impute to him. How can that be? Because Christ took them in his own body and went to the tree, and God in absolute justice poured out wrath on him, and he paid it in full, absolutely. And they're no more. When he came out of the grave, he came out of the grave without them. And to them that look for him shall he return again without sin. They're gone. They're gone. You see, faith looks at things as it is. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things that are not seen. When I look with my carnal eyes, all I see about me is sin. When I look by faith at what God says, even though I can't enter into it with this little fickle mind of mine, I don't raise up the bar of my mind and say, well, now this is where it's got to come to, if it's believable or unbelievable. I submit to God and say, Lord, I'm thankful that as you say it is, that's exactly how it is. And I trust you and believe you. Now that's liberty. What does that do to a man? Well, King David, in his flesh, looked out one day and he saw this woman named Bathsheba. Before it was all over with, he committed adultery with her. He had her husband murdered. He was guilty of adultery and murder, this man was. He was guilty of getting her husband drunk. And Nathan came to him, and Nathan said to him, there was a man who had a little sheep. That's all he had. There was another man that had cattle everywhere. And that rich man went and took that man's one little sheep. And David, when he heard that, he flew straight to Mount Sinai, and he said, who is he? The man will die. The man, he justly deserved to die. He justly deserved to die. And Nathan said, David, you're the man. You're the man. And Nathan said, I have sinned against God. And Nathan said, the Lord also hath put away thy sin. The Lord also hath put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. Not ever. not ever. And when that happened, turn to Psalm 51. Will this liberty make a man want to run? And you can't tell a man he's that free now. That's going to make a man want to do what he wants to do. I'll tell you what it will do. By God's grace, it certainly will. It certainly will. And David did just what he wanted to do. Watch this. He fled as fast as he could. When he was told it was him, he fled as fast as he could away from Mount Sinai and straight to Mount Zion. And this is what he said. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin, for I acknowledge my transgressions. My sins ever before me. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. And God said, what sin? What sin? What sin? What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. Doesn't make a believer that's truly been made free by Christ, that's truly been made to see he's not his own, that he's bought with the precious blood of Christ. He doesn't want to sin. He hates sin. And the forgiveness of God draws him ever closer to his Lord. That's why the Lord left us here in this shape we're in the sin we're in, so as he makes us know how sinful we are and see what Christ bore for us and how much we are truly forgiven, he just draws us nearer and nearer and nearer to him. Forgiveness does that. Law don't do that. Law won't do that. It's not that there's not any transgression in our flesh, but this is what the case is. There is now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Christ came, and he did what I couldn't do through the law, and he condemned death, and he condemned sin, being made sin and dying for me. He paid everything that was owed to justice. He did it, and God was just in the way he brought it about. Wherefore the Spirit bears witness in the heart of every believer, and this is the promise he says, I will be merciful to their unrighteousness. That means we still have a lot of it in ourselves. But he says, I'll be merciful to their unrighteousness. That's what he did to David. And their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. Gone. Gone. By blood atonement, Christ has redeemed us from the penalty of sin. By the application of it, by the Holy Spirit, our conscience is purged from the guilt of sin. In regeneration, we're delivered from sin's dominion, so that we hate sin now. We delight in the law of God after the inward man. And when we die, we'll be freed from the body and being of sin into the glorious liberty of the sons of God. This was all performed by God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And all we were slaves in sin to whom this free liberty hath been granted. That won't make a man stop serving the Lord either. That's the only message that'll make a man serve the Lord. It's the only word of grace that'll make a man truly serve the Lord in heart, in truth, and in spirit. This is it. Lord, thou wilt ordain peace for us, for thou also hast wrought all our works in us. That's Isaiah 26:12, and the margin reads, you've wrought all our works for us. Well, how do I obtain this freedom? How do I get this freedom? Verse 30 of our text, John 8, says, as he spake these words, many believed on him. You see, Christ is going to speak these words. Just like he did then, he does now. He's going to speak these words. Have you heard him speak these words? You who sit there and are scared to death that I'm going to call on you. You that are scared to death that when you hear this curse, 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 whose conscience is still guilty, guilty, guilty. Have you heard this voice? Have you heard this voice say to you in the place of that word curse, curse, cursed? Have you heard him whispered, you're justified? In the place of where you heard bondage, 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 have you heard him whisper, you're redeemed, you're mine? In the place of where you hear torment, 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 have you heard him say, peace, peace with God, peace in your heart, peace? Have you heard him speak? Has he created life in you, springing up in you, where you find yourself as you hear these words, believe in him? Where you can finally step out of yourself and look back at yourself and stand on the same side with God and say, I am a curse. I am nothing but a curse, that thou might be just when you judge. I am a curse. But ask God, Lord, will you have mercy on me? Has he made you honest? Made you honest? Well, how do I know if he's done that? Do you believe him? Do you believe him? Is there any delight in your soul when you hear what he's done? Are you just cold and dead as a rock? Cold and hard as an adamant stone? Well, if he's called you, if you delight in him, if you hear his voice, if you rejoice in these things, if you know that this is not some just trivial little light, well, I did my duty Sunday, I went to church. If that's what you think, go somewhere else. You're free, you're not bound here. This is about Christ the Lord and what he's accomplished. This is about the glory of God and what he's done. This is not about doing something so that everybody in this community looks at us and says, boy, look how they went from nothing to something. They built a big building. They built the church. They did. That's not what this is about. It's about the glory of God if he don't cause but one other person to hear it. They used to ask, men would call Brother Henry and say, we don't have many folks here that we need somebody to come preach for us. How many people do you require to be there? And he said, me and you. Me and you. Verse 31, if you've heard him, follow him, continue in him, confess him, believe him, trust him. Verse 31, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Look down at verse 36. If the Son, there's the truth, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. End of story. End of story. You shall abide in his house forever. If you want to read about that, how that son doesn't abide in the house forever, you go over to Galatians and you read, let me see here, Galatians 4, around verse 30. Go over there and read about that son of the bondmaid. He was a product of the flesh. And God said, he can't stay in this house. He's got to go. Stay in the house you're in. And God says, you're not going to abide forever. You got to go. But if you be the son of promise, born of Christ Jesus, that's what he's saying. He's saying he is the son of promise. He's the Isaac that was prophesied to come. And he said, if you abide in me, you'll live forever. Amen.